If you would, to 2 Kings chapter 18, we'll read verses 1 through 7 responsively. Then we're going to go to 2 Kings chapter 19, read verses 14 through 19. So 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 1 through 7. I'll read the first verse, we'll all read the second verse together, and so on. 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 1 through 7. Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Abby, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. He removed the high places and brake the images and cut down the groves and brake in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. For he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth. And he rebelled against the king of Assyria and served him not. Now turn, if you would, to 2 Kings chapter 19. I'll read verses 14, and then we'll read verse 15 together and so on, down to verse 19. Notice what it says. And Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, that even thou alone of all kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see. And hear the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou alone. Let's pray. Dear God, Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much. I pray, Father, this truth that I have gleaned from this passages, I pray it would be manifested in all of our lives. Help us, dear God. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I want us to focus on what is written about Hezekiah, where it says, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Now, Hezekiah did not do right in his own eyes. He didn't do right in the eyes of others. He did right in the sight of the Lord. A well-known preacher of the past years used to tell others who were preparing for the ministry, do right till the stars fall. Now, the life of Hezekiah as a whole can be summed up as one who did right. Now, here we read that at the age of 25, he began to reign over the kingdom of Judah. He became king when sin and corruption were rampant. Yet he did not go along to get along, but instead he took a stand for the word of God and used his influence as a king to draw people back to the Lord. He refused to accept things as they were and instead became the salt and light that God's people should be. He did not follow in the footsteps of his father Ahaz, who did evil in the sight of the Lord. Ahaz was one who set up idols throughout Jerusalem. He rejected a message of hope from the prophet Isaiah. He honored the gods of the Assyrians, burnt his children in the fire, shut the doors of the temple so people could not worship there. He built groves to Molech and to Baal, and he exploited the people by overtaxing them. He led the people of God into filthy perversion. Wicked, illicit, unlawful sex had become commonplace in the kingdom of Judah. Sodomy was rampant, and debauchery was practiced openly. Ahaz was one of the most wicked kings in all of history. This was the spiritual and moral climate that Hezekiah inherited from his father. But thank God the saying, like father, like son, would not be true of Hezekiah, nor would the phrase, the acorn doesn't fall far from the oak tree. He learned much from his father, especially on what not to do. And so this young king would cut down the groves. He would break the images. He removed the high places. He cleaved to the Lord and followed his commandments. And he served the God of the Bible and not the king of Assyria. He was one who was rather young. And he had a horrible example of what a king and a father should have been to him. One who was brought up in an evil, adulterous generation. Yet he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And this was a result of Hezekiah being a man of prayer. Let us never forget that right living requires right praying. And right praying requires right living. And Hezekiah happened to have both. He knew how to make requests and have them answered. When problems came, needs arose, and difficulties were his lot, he would take them to the Lord, who could do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, and for one to whom nothing is impossible. The day came when the Assyrian army came against the city of Jerusalem. They had a great host, and they were planning on destroying it. They taunted and mocked the Jews that were living there. They spake against the word of Hezekiah, who told his people to trust the Lord. And they even said that the Lord was incapable of delivering his people out of the hand of the great king of Assyria. They blasphemed, and they defied the God of Hezekiah. Well, word came, and they left Jerusalem, because they needed to temporarily fight the Ethiopians. But eventually they sent Hezekiah another letter stating the same thing as they came once again against Jerusalem. Hezekiah took that letter. He went into the house of the Lord and he prayed that the Lord would save his people from the Assyrians, that the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and his prayer was answered. For that night, an angel of the Lord smote 185,000 enemy soldiers. Hezekiah knew how to pray. And even though he was the authority and ruler over the people, he could turn into a beggar that pleaded with God to hear and answer his request. He did not limit God in his asking, nor in God's ability to answer. I hope you grasp the importance of prayer. The fact that you better pray, know how to pray, that you would be on praying ground, and that God is capable of answering more than we could ever think of asking. We will never live right until we pray right, nor will we ever pray right until we live right. You know, when you read in the Bible, you read of other great answers to prayer. Joshua prayed and the sun and the moon stood still. Barren Hannah prayed and gave birth to the prophet Samuel. Elijah prayed and received a double portion of Elijah's spirit. Daniel prayed and interpreted the dreams of Nebuchadnezzar. 120 disciples gathered together in an upper room, prayed for 10 days, and they were endued with power from on high. The church prayed and Peter was released from Herod's prison. And Paul prayed, and the jailhouse rocked in Philippi. We are encouraged to pray, invited to pray. We are commanded to pray, to open our mouths wide, to pray without ceasing, to pray earnestly, fervently, with faith, And we are to expect great things from our God. Hezekiah went sick unto death, being told by the prophet Isaiah that he would die. He turned his face to the wall and prayed and was given 15 more years to live. Hezekiah was a man of prayer, just like every believer ought to be. Number two, he was also a man with a right motive. He was a man with a right motive. Hezekiah didn't do right in the sight of what his father would have done, or in the sight of the dreadful politicians of his day. He didn't do right in the sight of compromised priests that were leading Judah religiously. He did right in the sight of the Lord and was willing to take a stand even if no one else ever did. His one great aim, his motive, his ambition was to please the Lord. This put him in the same company as the Apostle Paul, who wrote this in Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. These two, along with others, were men of convictions. They were not interested in going along to get along, but they were willing to stand up and stand out for the Lord. So many wonder what the will of God is. And they question different things that the Bible addresses because they don't know what the Word of God is and they're not standing by faith. They don't have the right motives. And so they ask questions like, is drinking alcohol wrong? How about smoking? What about vaping? What about getting tattoos? What about premarital sex? How about this matter of gambling, playing the lottery, going to the nightclub where you shake your groove thing? What about the use of profanity, going to movies that have unsavory language or bringing them home? As they also display soft porn. How about playing bingo, skipping church once in a while? What about some of the music I listen to? Or how about what type of friends I should have? And some make the statement about what they're planning to do is, they say this, well, it isn't all that bad. Now, if one is to do right in the sight of the Lord, you'll find out what's right or wrong according to the book that he wrote. Folks, it's all in the Bible. It's here in black and white, and it's to be read all over. It is to be put into practice. When God spoke these words, he said what he meant what he said. And believe it or not, he didn't consult any one of us. Nor is he interested in what we think is right. Did you know? Not once in the Bible do you read, thou shalt not do that which isn't all that bad? Now, we should all want to live a life that pleases the Lord. We are to do his will and not ours. And our love for him is shown in our obedience to what he has commanded. Where are the Daniels today who purpose in their heart that they'll do right wherever life takes them? The Josephs who flee from sin are those three Hebrew men who would rather burn than bend to the wants of a king's unlawful order. Years ago, a young man upon graduation was sent a pack of cigarettes from a cigarette manufacturer. A note with that package read, congratulations upon your graduation. We want to present you a gift pack of our cigarettes. We hope you like them and enjoy them, and we want you to buy them and use them regularly. Now, the young man was a believer. He had some convictions. He knew the scriptures, and he didn't want to defile the temple of the Holy Ghost. Nor did he want to appear, however, ungrateful for the gift that was sent him and come off as insulting or indignant. It wasn't long before he penned a letter back to the cigarette manufacturer, and it said, "I'd like for you to know, I took that tobacco out of those cigarettes. I mixed it with a quart of water. I then sprayed it upon my roses, and it killed every bug on them. Please send me some more tobacco next year. It sure does make for some tremendous poison." You see, he had standards. He had convictions. And how he handled this situation was one who was wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. Number three, Hezekiah was a man with the right order of priorities. With the right order of priorities. You know, life would be a whole lot easier for God's people if they had the right priorities. It really would. Verse 4 of our text reads, "He removed the high places and break the images and cut down the groves and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan." Now, notice here, Hezekiah himself personally partook in the breaking of the false gods and in the cutting down of the groves and the busting up of the brass serpent that Moses made and that people were burning incense to. Now, I want you to know, I have been told by some that I'm a negative preacher. One guy made this accusation against me at my first church when I pastored in Iowa. And I told him, I said, "You know what? You come Sunday morning." And I said, "I will preach a positive message." Well, he showed up. And I proclaimed that I'm positive that God is against your sin. I'm positive you should not neglect your Bible. I'm positive your home is dysfunctional if it is not ordered by the Word of God. I'm positive you're a God robber if you don't tithe. I'm positive that your bad testimony shuts the door of heaven to the lost. And I'm positive your lack of church attendance does not coincide with what is written in Hebrews 10:25. Believe it or not, he left that church that morning. He still thought I was a negative preacher. Now, if you want an example of a negative believer, look no further than Hezekiah. Here was a king who personally went out, took an axe to those trees of worship, smashed those false idols that the people had, and don't tell me that that wasn't negative. Whether one is young or old, the best thing you can do for yourself right now is to have an idol-breaking time. For it'll save you plenty of trouble in the future. Some need to break down the idol of self-reliance. We are independent Baptists, but that doesn't mean we're supposed to be independent of God. Yes, you have some abilities. Yes, you have some talents. But let me tell you, that has been given to you by God, and you ought to rely on God to use them for His glory. May I remind you that Jesus said, "For without me, he can do what? Nothing." It was the Lord that gifted those things to you, and he deserves all the glory and not you. Need I remind you that real success depends upon one's proper relationship to God's Word? Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 tells us, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way," what? "Prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Then we read this in Psalm 1, verse 2 and 3. "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So let me ask you, if you're neglecting the Bible, but you're highly successful in business, are you really a success in God's eyes? Well, if you read the Bible or you don't do His commandments, are you a success? We need to get our priorities right. How do you start your day? There should never be a day in a Christian's life where they don't spend time in the Word of God and they don't spend time communing with the Lord. You say, well, preacher, I just don't have time. I got plenty to do. Well, guess what? We all have plenty to do. But the fact of the matter is, if you want to be successful, you better be in the Word of God. We need the Lord. We need what He can do in us, on us, and through us. Not be self-reliant. Then maybe we need to break down the idol of human intellectualism. Some get to the point where human thought replaces what thus saith the Lord. I've had people tell me, I don't care what the Bible says. Because you know what I think? I'm like, whoo, this is good. You who are filled with such pride. You who think you know more than God does. You who dismiss His word because it's not to your liking. Shame on you! God never gave us the opportunity to pick and choose what we like or dislike, and He doesn't want our opinion on what's right or wrong. If God said it, that settles it. Human intellectualism. Some people think they're so smart that if God took them from this earth, the gene pool would just go cattywampus. I mean, it must be hard for you, soaring eagles, to live amongst the rest of us turkeys. Listen, you think you know more than God does, you got problems. So many worship at the altar of human intellect. Not too long ago, I was told by somebody, you don't really believe the creation story, do you? You're smarter than that, aren't you? I said, I believe every word in the Word of God. I believe it so much that if God said Jonah swallowed the whale, I would believe it. You say, well, that's awful stupid. No, I believe God can do anything. Nothing's too hard for the Lord. So many approach the Bible in a critical, questioning manner and in one of unbelief, unless it lines up with their way of thinking. They look at people of faith as simpletons, yet it takes a whole lot more faith on their part to believe what they do. They think it's absurd that God destroyed the world by a flood. They think it's absurd that Jesus was virgin born. And they think, why believe in miracles? That stuff just doesn't happen. That's why they're called miracles, doofus. I'm glad that the darkness of human intellectualism in my life has been replaced with the light of God's Word. You can call me narrow-minded, but my mind is as open up as the Word of God and shut off to everything that's contrary to it. How about breaking down the idol of money or things? Yes, there are those whose lives are consumed by getting money and things. They seem to live by the philosophy, he who dies with the most toys wins. They devote themselves to serving the almighty dollar and not almighty God. For them, cash is king and not Jesus. They would rather try to keep up with the Joneses than stay close to the Savior. That idol needs to be broken down. And you know what? it will cause you to put your emphasis, that idol, on money and things, on time and not eternity. And on investing in things of this world and not laying your for your up yourselves, not laying up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And you'll leave it all behind instead of sending it on ahead. One cannot serve two masters. The idol of mammon needs to be broken down. We need to get our priorities straight. Number four, Nehemiah was a man with the right spirit. He was a man with the right spirit. You know, it's amazing to me how bad the spirit of certain Christians are. And they think nothing of it. They can get upset. They can tear people down. They can make them feel bad. And they just go their way without an apology. Shame on you! Notice what it says in verse 4. He removed the high places and break the images and cut down the groves and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan. Now God had sent fiery serpents into the camp of Israel because of their murmuring. You know, if when I read that, I'm thinking, are those people really Jews or are they Baptists? Baptists do a whole lot of complaining and murmuring too, don't they? Things don't go their way and boy, it upsets them. They don't like to just roll with the punches. They don't want to keep them, maintain their own spirit. They like to unleash it on others who don't do things their way. Aren't you pleasant? Aren't you kind? Wow. We can't even treat others properly. These serpents sunk their fangs into the people, and they were dropping like flies. They begged Moses to do something about it. And he goes to the Lord, and he is told, make thee a fiery serpent, set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. That caused the plague to be stayed when they looked by faith to the serpent on the pole. This serpent of brass was special to the people. But over time, the people were giving it a higher place in their lives than the Lord and burning incense to it and worshiping it as if it were God. Nehemiah destroyed it. He called it Nehushtan, meaning it is nothing more than a worthless piece of trash. God will have no rivals in our lives. He will not share the honor that belongs to him alone. And he must be first in our affections. And we are to worship him alone. And we are to worship him in truth and in spirit. How's your spirit? What's it like? How is it when things don't go your way? How do you react? Hezekiah reacted with the right spirit. How about you? Number five, Hezekiah was a man with confidence in the right person. We read this in verse 5 and 6 of our text. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. How many think that's a pretty good ringing endorsement? For he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments which the Lord commanded Moses. Hezekiah fell so in love with the Lord that he kept God's commandments. He put his total confidence in God. You know, we need to do as God says. We need to trust him fully and depend upon him. We need to cleave to him all of our days. Trouble will come our way. It may be the death of a loved one. It may be financial ruin, false accusations leveled against us. It could be a dreaded medical condition, a disappointment in your family or job or some other unexpected tragedy. It's during those times that we need to cleave to the Lord and we need to trust the Lord and believe he knows what he is doing. During such times, we need to exhibit a strong faith and have an unshakable confidence and trust in the Lord. There will be hard days ahead, and that's when you need him more than ever. Others may abandon you, but the Lord will never. He is there for you, so cleave to him. Keep his commandments. My prayer for us is that it can be said of the believers here, that we do right in the sight of the Lord, that we would live right and pray right, because right praying requires right living, that we would have right motives, we would always please the Lord, we'd have the right priorities in our life, and of course, Christ is supposed to have preeminence. We'd remove all idols from our lives. We would exude a right spirit towards one another, towards our fellow man. We would worship God alone. We would trust everything he says, obey him, and cleave to him at all times. Everyone standing, every head bowed, every eye closed.